Oh, crap. I forgot that I had my thing turned off. I'm sure the chat was like, hey, Corinne, unmute yourself. Sorry about that. All right. So today, I'll just repeat, today's Q&A, we are going to start with a class on how to lose weight while you overeat, because many of you either are brand new to No BS. So welcome to all of our newbies. This is a live Q&A call that will go into the video replays. So if you ever see one of these types of calls on your training calendar, just know that if you can't attend live, which 90% of our members never attend live, you can always catch them in the replays. And the replays drop on typically on Tuesdays and Fridays. And then also, you don't even have to listen to any of this stuff. You can always pick and choose after you finish the No BS Weight Loss Program what you want to listen to. And I promise all of you, I don't care how long you've been in No BS, not every call you have to listen to it in order to lose weight. To lose weight, it has nothing to do with how much content you consume. Trust me. The differentiating factor from someone who loses weight versus someone who doesn't, and they're both listening to content, is one of them is applying, trying, making mistakes while they try to apply what they hear. And the other person is listening and they're waiting to feel confident. They're waiting to think that they can do it right. They're waiting to trust that it'll work. They're listening, nodding, enjoying, but they're not applying. Or they apply a couple of times, get frustrated, and wait until they feel good before they try again. Or you wait until you feel so miserable that you're not doing anything that it feels better to try. And that is an interesting concept for all of you to think about. If you watch yourself do this spin cycle of, and we're going to talk about this in just a moment, the spin cycle of, I try something, it doesn't go the way I think it should, I beat myself up, I think, oh my God, this isn't working. Something, and if it's not working, that must mean something's wrong with me. It must mean, here we go again, I'll never lose weight. If you allow yourself to go down that road, you'll try, you'll get in the cycle of loathing. You'll quit, not because anything you told yourself is true. You'll quit because your loathing feels terrible. And if you, your brain will make a connection that, oh, like trying feels terrible. No, what you're doing and the conversation you have about yourself, that's the part that feels terrible. The actions don't. If you didn't tell yourself you're a fuck up or that you can't lose weight or that you're hopeless every time you make a mistake, you'd probably just keep trying to wait until you're hungry until you finally get it. The drama around it is what's hard. And guess what? That's the only thing you have to unlearn in order to lose your weight. You're here in No BS to unlearn a lot of drama, to separate out like, oh, what is doing things? And what is all the shit I think about when I'm doing the things? So we try something. Insert self-loathing when it doesn't go the way we think it should. We quit to get away from our own self-loathing. Then step four is I self-loathe that I'm not doing anything. So I just go right back into the pattern of like, well, you suck. You should be trying. You should be making a 24-hour plan. You should have this by now. You've been listening to the podcast forever. I can't believe that it's this hard for you. I don't like what I weigh. I wish I could lose weight. You do another load of self-loathing. Well, then that gets so painful. Your brain's like, man, we should just lose weight. Like, come on, let's make a 24-hour plan today. Let's plug in Corinne's calls. Come on, we're going to get started. Because now you think that's going to help you feel better. Whereas before you were thinking, oh, all this stuff I'm doing makes me feel bad. Here's the trick. If you want one trick and No BS, and you hang your hat on this and it'll probably work for every single thing. Stop self-loathing. Stop judging. stop all of that part when you hear it, and then just do the thing, knowing intellectually, you don't have to emotionally believe it. Intellectually, waiting for hunger is not near as bad as my brain thinks it is. Making a mistake in this, I'm probably blowing this out of proportion. I am probably making this a bigger fucking deal than it is. So if I'm probably just doing that, if I'm probably just creating drama, let me keep doing things that intellectually make sense until I unlearn the dramatic parts of everything. Okay, that's just a little late. We're going to get into the class. It's a little tease, but before I do, I just want to make a couple of announcements. Number one, let me pull up. Would somebody let our team know that I think the Zoom notice must not have gone out because there's only 275 people here, and typically there's 500 or more. So that signals to me that maybe a reminder did not go out about this class, or the time was wrong on it. So it did not. Everybody is saying there was no notice today. So we may want to pump one out or not. I don't know. Y'all decide. You're my team. I'll let them just figure it out. You know, like, I think all of you should imagine there is a fictitional big ass corporate headquarters for No BS where they all work. Now, we all have to imagine it in our brain because we all work from home. Nobody has an office. Everybody has a home office. But if there was, just imagine cubicles and offices, and then suddenly panic and everyone's running. That's what I imagine is happening in the background right now when I was like, there's no notice. Most of the members aren't here. And I will just tell all of you, imagining things like that, there's just a tad bit of fun that goes along for the ride. All right. Let's see. Let me look at my notes. We have a couple of announcements and then we can get started. If I can find my notes, Ren's got 1,000 things on her screen. All right. So for the members that have been around for a minute, don't forget we're in the middle of the 2-pound takedown challenge. It's going strong. I will tell you, when I go to the Facebook group and I see how much you're losing, and I want all of you to consider this. Every month, we're going to be having challenges for 2023. They're going to be different every month. We're going to challenge, like, some months will be challenges around like losing 2 pounds. Sometimes it's going to be challenges just around doable hunger. We're going to structure the whole month to where like you're just doing things. We are calling it the year of do. So it's like we're going to do lots of things with you this year to take what we learn and put it into action. So I love seeing all that, but I want all of you to just consider, especially for those of you that, and this would be something interesting to post in the Facebook group. Why do you think this first week you were able to lose that weight? And I want you to just write about it. So like if you dropped 0.5 pound, if you dropped 0.2 pound, if you dropped 2 pounds, whatever it was, just write for a few minutes on, why do I think that happened? Now, here's what most people will say. It will be like, well, I ate when I was hungry. Like I did the things. Like you'll list actions. I ate a little less last week. Then I want you to look at everything. And I want you to think, like, if it was an action, why did I choose to do it this week? What did I tell myself to get myself to do it? This is so important. So like Vivian here says, I'm incorporating urges. I have urges. And as soon as I feel it, I'm setting a 10-minute timer. So somebody said, I drink less alcohol. I want you to come up with, why did I do it? There's always a thought. And I want you to think about, where can I find the inner command that I give myself that made it to where I could do it this week? And I just want you to check your thinking, because a lot of times y'all tell me, like you'll be real excited in the beginning and you'll lose a little weight and you'll be more consistent. It's like, if you noticed you were consistent this week over other weeks, how did your inner dialogue change? Because I'm going to tell all of you, it is not what you did that lost the weight last week. And I do not want you to ever think it was my actions. Actions do not create your results. So how you showed up did not create a 2-pound loss, a 1-pound loss, a loss of anything. What created it was I had a thought that allowed me to feel either motivated, willing, determined, aware, conscious, on it. You had a thought that created a feeling, and that's the only thing that got you to do what you did. So if I didn't have that thought, I'd be acting like I did 2 or 3 weeks ago, or when I wasn't losing weight, because when I wasn't doing these things, I also had a thought that caused me to feel a certain way, that the action was, I choose not to do this. And this is important, because in No BS, I am not teaching you just specific actions to lose weight. We tell you what to do, but more importantly, we're always working on your thinking so that you know how to tell yourself what to do in the moments it's hard, in the moments life's throwing curveballs, in the moments when things are boring, in the moments when you're not motivated, in the moments that you're confused. You have the skill of telling yourself, what is that next best step I can take? All right. And the last thing I want to announce is this, like literally today, tomorrow and Friday are the best times to sign up for virtual camp, which is happening in July. It's the No BS Excuses weekend on this Saturday. For everyone who's purchased camp up until Saturday morning at 9 a.m. Central Time, whether you're coming virtually or in person, we do not have any more in-person tickets left. We only have virtual camp seats left. You will get a bonus call with Kathy and Coach MJ. And what they're going to do is they're going to do a call on how to watch for excuses between now and July. Now, I wrote this content and I know it's good. So you're going to walk out of there with a very powerful sentence that you can use against any excuse you have. At camp, we're going to dig into why we have our excuses, who gave them to us, whoever taught us this was okay to think. Why does our brain keep going back to it? We're going to dig into like the deep cuts. But between now and July, what you really need is you just need to be able to tell yourself something the second you hear an excuse. And they're going to teach you that on Saturday, 9 a.m. Central Time. So if you go to the nobswomen.com, that's where you log into the website. That is where you can find camp information. Just go to the menu and there will be events. And you can get signed up for virtual camp. And you can come to that call, or you can watch the replay when it drops, because we'll drop a replay for you just like we do everything else. All right, let's talk about how do you lose weight while overeating. All right, here's the good news. When you first start losing weight, overeating will not slow you down. I'm gonna say this again, especially when you first start losing weight. Continued overeating will not slow you down. When you get halfway to your weight loss goal, guess what? Continued overeating will not slow your weight loss down. When you get to the end of your journey and you're closing in on your last 10 pounds, guess what? Overeating cannot slow down your weight loss. Here's why. The only thing that actually slows down weight loss is when you make overeating a catastrophe, a problem, if you will. When you make your overeating a morality issue, when you make your overeating the end all be all to everything, what you make your overeating mean will determine how fast you lose weight. Because I'm going to tell all of you, every human overeats,
even the thin ones, especially those fucking thin people.
They overeat. You know what they don't do? Act like it's a catastrophe. Just like yesterday, there was somebody in the Facebook group that I was coaching. I don't know if her name was Melissa. I can't remember what her name was. And she's like, oh my God, send help. Very dramatic message. She overate pizza at lunch. She's like, talk me off the ledge. My brain's just saying I should have Ben and Jerry's for dinner. Okay, bitch. Let's just be real with our brains for a minute. Overeating pizza at one meal will not slow your weight loss down. If you don't overeat at the next meal because of that one. So if at this meal you make eating pizza mean like, wilted flour coming through, everyone watch out, be prepared to throw water on me. The broken, no BS woman who overate lunch and had too much pizza needeth thy help. You overeat pizza. Ask the fucking questions that you need to ask. Like, why? Was it a habit? Am I just not used to stopping it enough yet? Did I let myself get caught up in how good it tastes and didn't take a pause to tell myself, yeah, it tastes good. And girl, you're so lucky to be a no BS. Because it used to be the way that if something tasted good, you couldn't eat it to lose weight. That is not what we're doing. Did you even try to calm yourself down? What you want to do in those moments is you want to calm yourself, reason with yourself. Do not let yourself be a jerk. Your brain will want to be the jerk because it still associates itself as someone who can't lose weight. So it's like, well, if I still believe I can't lose weight, I need to offer up a crap load of thoughts. Your brain is just working that way. But all of you know yourselves. If you beat yourself up, don't be shocked that if you overeat pizza, that you make it a big fucking deal. But this is where we come in with our reasoning brain. This is what we're teaching you. You swoop in and you're like, I got you. I knew we would make this a big deal. I knew we would feel terrible. Of course you feel scared and you feel bad because you've only ever overreacted to overeating. But here's what I know. Corinne says that as long as you just make a better decision at the next meal, as long as you modulate, just when it comes dinner, are you hungry? If you are, you're supposed to eat. If you're not hungry, don't. If you didn't eat what was on plan at lunch, that doesn't mean that you don't eat off plan at dinner. It just means one meal I didn't eat on plan. So can I get back on plan for dinner? Can I tell myself, hey, we're going to eat this. We don't need to blow it. We've already had some pizza today. We have to talk to ourselves, like grown-ass women. So, here's what happens when you lose weight. You're going to overeat, and you're going to overeat after you lose weight. You're going to overeat probably till the day you die for tons of reasons. We just want to get to the point to where overeating is not a big deal so that you can make better choices for yourself. If overeating is not a big deal, I want all of you who, by the raise of a hand, loves to just play, girl, I know what I do. It is fuck it, eat for real central for me. Just like our girl yesterday. She's like, well, fuck it. Ben and Jerry's for dinner. You done blew it with the pizza. Or how many of you do good all day and then you come home and them kids and them partners, they all go off somewhere else and you're like, woo. Mama's alone. Let's go get Oreos. And you get into your Oreos, and next thing you know, you're on your couch eating. I'm going, fuck me. I wasn't supposed to do this. I suck. Well, if I just eat the rest of this sleeve, I won't have to deal with it tomorrow. So we'll just nom, nom, nom and hoover like a cookie monster now, knowing that tomorrow we won't have this temptation. We'll be so much better. And I just won't buy no more Oreos. That's a temptation food. How many of you do that? Probably all of us. Here's the thing. Bucket eating and blow it eating, like I'm just going to go off the rails eating, only happens when you define overeating as wrong, morally wrong, going to stop me from losing weight. That overeating in itself can't stop you. It can be the lesson you need to learn in order to no longer do that behavior. Like for all of you who are like fuck it eating and blow it eating, what do you think the lesson is? It's not to end those. The first lesson is, oh, this is trying to teach me I've got to have a better relationship with my eating patterns. Oh, I'll admit, I was supposed to end this eating. I was fucking wrong this whole time. I thought it meant that I'll never be perfect. No, it means like if that's your behavior, it's like, oh, this is trying to tell me if I take a simple overeat and blow it out of proportion, lesson one is how to have a simple overeat and not blow it out of proportion. To make it an opportunity to repair the relationship with myself, how I talk about food, how I'm losing weight this time, how this time's different. What can I glean from this? What are my truest needs in this moment? Maybe these overeats are trying to tell me this is how we're going to start caring for ourselves. You keep eating every night because, like, let's take alone eating at night. So many lessons there. What could hoovering the rest of the Oreos tell you? One. It could tell you, if I'm eating when I'm alone and I tell myself this is the only time I ever get, it could be telling me that I need to have some conversations with people on how I can do a little bit less and cut some time for me. Maybe we need to talk to the partner. Maybe not. Maybe it's, oh, if this is the only break I got all day, am I people pleasing somewhere? Am I overcommitting myself in places where I just don't have the spine right now to tell people no? I at least want to know that, so that at least I know the real solve is not Oreos. The real solve is, how am I going to be brave? What conversations do I need to have? If you're alone eating at night, it could be, and you're like, you're tired and you're telling yourself, is, you know, this is the only time I get for me. But if you didn't eat during that time, you would be riddled with guilt as if you should be doing more. It's like, oh, it's really trying to tell me how I need to learn how to be with myself instead of feeling guilty that I'm not doing more. Maybe this is an opportunity for me to relax. Because I reassure myself, you did a lot today. And every day you're eating Oreos and you're missing out on the opportunity to tell yourself all the amazing things you do each day. And not, you're not used to talking to yourself that way. And if you keep eating Oreos, you'll never learn how to have that conversation. Sometimes the solves are just staring us right in the face. And it's our overeats that are signaling to us what our truest needs are. Our overeats are saying, hey, ask me about this. Set aside judgment, set aside all of it. And this is why I tell you this. It's because the moment that you start learning from your overeats, you reduce catastrophizing and blowing up. Like, let's say our girl yesterday, let's say she ate 4 pieces of pizza instead of 2. She could end all of it with just under, like, I wonder why I ate 4. It's probably because in the past when I dieted, when I ate pizza, it was wrong and my brain still thinks it's wrong now. So it probably overreacted. Wanted it, got carried away with it tasting good. I probably started thinking there's no way that I can lose weight eating this. So I kept eating, thinking I'm going to take it away again, even though I know I'm doing something different, no BS. So maybe that was just teaching me I need more time for my brain to catch up, that I don't take away foods anymore. I don't I don't make foods good or bad anymore. If that's the case, if that's the quality conversation you have about an overeat, we're not like that version of you is not sitting there thinking, I should eat Ben and Jerry's later. You know what that version of you now is thinking? I know more about my eating patterns. You feel calm. You don't feel the need to overreact. You're like, and probably the best thing that I can do is just get right back on that plan I made. This is like, I want you to think about if you're going to make something a big deal, I want you to make it the right big deal. Like in that moment, I want you to like, this was a big deal. I took time to figure out what was going on. And that's a huge step forward in weight loss, because that's going to better prepare me for future weight loss. It's going to prepare you way more than trying to be perfect. It's going to make it last longer, because I want you to think about this. There is a version, there's no one inside of No BS that doesn't have at least a whisper of a version of your future in you who's saying, I am in here. I want it for both of us. Otherwise, you just wouldn't be here. Even if you can't hear that voice, even if your negative Nancy voice is drowning it out, there's a small part of you that actually is like, this is possible. In the future version of you, you reach her who is confident around food and stuff, not because you were perfect. You reach her because all the way there, you learned how to talk to yourself so that when you arrive and you're still overeating at times, your maintenance self isn't blowing it out of proportion. Your maintenance self knows how to autocorrect. Your maintenance self doesn't have to beat themselves up to stay in maintenance. Everything you do today not only benefits you, but it is taking care of that version of you that you want so bad. That is the difference about being in No BS. I want you to land in maintenance with a mindset that's so resilient that it doesn't take a ton of work to stay in maintenance. You're just already proud of yourself. You were proud of yourself for all the decisions you were making all the way down. If future you is sitting there and proud that she lost her weight, that means you today is proud of the tiniest of decisions that you'll make in order to lose that weight. You today has to teach future you how to land there and be proud. Not to land there and be terrified that you're going to lose it. Because if you're trying to lose weight, terrified that every overeat is wrong and that every overeat means something terrible, then what do you think it's going to like? If you think it's bad now, while you're miserable with your weight or not happy with your weight, how terrifying will it be when you have what you always wanted? Every mistake will be magnified by 1,000 because you'll be terrified of losing what you always wanted. And we don't want to do that to ourselves. And that starts with every single day figuring out, how can I face the challenges, the mistakes, the overeats? How can I show up for them each day with confidence, with thoughtfulness, consciousness, determination, compassion, some calm? That's how we lose weight. So let me tell you for the last time, here's the typical pattern that most of us do when we try to lose weight. First, we pick a diet. We set expectations that if I don't do it right, I'll never lose weight. Then we move to step two, which is worry and fear that we can't do it. Try things that they say to do. And the moment a mistake hits, we blow it out of proportion. Then we get like, then what we do is we blow mistakes out of proportion and we repeat the cycle of going back to like, all right, I can't do this. Let me quit to get away from myself. And then when you loathe about yourself for long enough, then you're more motivated to go back on the diet. But here's what I want you to do. I just want you to start with, I'm here in no BS. I don't even want you to think about, I don't have to be perfect. I just want y'all to think, perfect is not even a thing. Thank you. Breakfast has arrived. Green ran out of time to eat this morning. So I want you to just think, I'm here. Perfection is just not even a real thing. I don't know where I learned it. So if I'm trying to be perfect, I'm just going to remind myself. That's just not a real thing. It's just not. I promise all of you, as much as the only reason why most of you want to be perfect, it's because either you don't want to beat yourself up or you don't want somebody else to think poorly of you. There's such a better fix than trying to be perfect. The more you try to be perfect, the less opportunity you have to talk better to yourself. I've never met a perfectionist who cheerleads himself there all the way. I've only met perfectionists who talk like assholes to themselves. So we want to learn how to speak to ourselves. And so anytime you're trying to be perfect, just remind yourself, I'm only afraid of two things. What I'll think of me or what somebody else will think of me. I can change how I think about me. And that just takes time. And I would rather change how I think about myself than try to be perfect, which is impossible. It cannot happen. The second part is my job, if somebody else thinks poorly of me, is to figure out one of two things. Do they actually think something poorly about me? So many of you are trying to be perfect and you don't even know what the hell they're thinking. You just assume everybody thinks poorly of you if you make a mistake. I am so shocked all the time. Like my own team. Like, let me just tell you, having 25 employees will fucking enlighten you as to how mismanaged minds are. Seriously. They come to me all the time with these crazy ideas about what they think I think of them. And I'm like, what? And I'm always thinking, did I say that? They're like, well, no, you didn't say that. I'm like, okay, well, why would you think that then? Well, I just assumed. Ask yourself, why would I assume someone thinks the worst of me versus most of you are assuming that people who actually love you are sitting around thinking the worst about you. And it makes no sense. So you have a couple of choices when it comes to somebody else's opinion. You can say like, okay, literally this mistake I made, literally if I screw up, is it really true? Can I prove it in a court of law that my mother, my partner, my boss, my friend, my kid, whoever these people are, will they actually come to me and say, I just got to let you know, you're a fucking shit show. You're a shit show that happens to be going down in the midst of a dumpster fire. Just letting you know. Or is it made up shit in your head? If it's made up shit in your head, then guess what? You just need to delete it. If somebody doesn't say it to you, you need to delete it in your head, because that's a reflection of what you believe about you. So you're like, they're not saying that. That's not a real concern. But if I imagine other people are going to think that, that's my job to change my opinion about me. I would never make up crap about me unless something in me believed it. So stop worrying about what they think. Go to the real work. Don't let that be a distraction. But you may have very honest people in your life who judge the fuck out of you, and they happen to be named Uncle Bocephus. And they're like, Corinne, just got to let you know, I'm very disappointed in you. Just need to let you know. I knew you couldn't do it. I just want to let you know you're doing it all wrong. I would do it this way. Whatever it is, they've said it out loud. Guess what? Here's your work. Your work is not to be like, oh, fret, clutch pearls, try to be perfect, need to make sure that I live up to their expectations. Bull fucking shit. We do not clutch our pearls. In fact, I wish all of you would just throw pearls away or donate them to the Goodwill. Here's what we do. When somebody says opinions, we first ask ourselves, do we give a shit about their opinion? If it is Uncle Bocephus, why are you clutching your pearls over something that somebody who you don't even respect has to say about you? We throw that one away. Just get rid of it. If you don't like them or you don't honor their opinion, why are you giving it any oxygen? Sometimes we just got to like check ourselves. But let's pretend it's someone you love. Immense respect for. Let's say Chris comes to me and is just like, Corinne, you fuck, like, you don't know enough. I don't think you can do this. You're terrible at blah, blah, blah. And it's someone I love and someone I respect. Here's your choice. Do I agree with their opinion? If you don't, then don't get butt hurt. Just be like, well, I just don't agree with their opinion. And that's what they think. My job is to be like, stay in my lane. Tell them I disagree. But I don't take it personally. A lot of times, like when people throw shade at me, I'm just like, okay, I'll just prove you wrong. Or I think about all the things they're just wrong about. People throw shade at me all the time. I get told constantly, my body's too big, I'm too small. My hair should be short. No, it should be long. You shouldn't bleach your hair. Oh, wait, no, you shouldn't have gray. I get like all kinds of opinions about how I should talk. I should or shouldn't cuss. Like, y'all, all the time. And it used to really hurt because I would take it personally. Maybe they're right. Maybe I am not classy. Maybe I do look like a hooker. Maybe like I shouldn't have spray tans. Like, for God's sakes, people like love to pick on me about stuff. But then I just remind myself, but I like this stuff. I like having versatile hair. So I reassure myself. But let's say it's someone that I love and respect, and they say the things, and I'm like, huh, they might be right. If I think they might be right, then that's really good news. I don't have to beat myself up for it. I can just say, this is someone I actually love and value their opinion. Maybe you don't like the way they said it, but you're like, you know what? I'm going to go off and I'm going to really think on it. And I'm just going to decide, is that a place that I can improve? Or am I just going to decide, you know what? I don't think so. At the end of the day, I have my back. And that's the whole point. So get really curious about your overeating. Like, the whole point of this is, like, how do you lose weight and still overeat? You really get curious about the overeats. You don't blow them out of proportion and you don't catastrophize them. You ask yourself, like, what is this overeating trying to tell me? In that moment when I was overeating, what did it help me with? A lot of times our overeating is helping us with something. Sometimes it helps us with stress. We'd rather overeat than face why we're stressed. Sometimes we're bored. We'd rather overeat than to sit there and be like, every single day I'm bored at work. What is my overeating trying to tell me? Maybe I want a new job, but I'm just scared to go after one. Maybe I need to ask for more responsibility, but I'm afraid I wouldn't be able to do that work. So I need to work on my courage. I need to work on my believability around being able to do more, to take on more. Maybe it's helping me socialize. When I go out, maybe I get in my head so much about worrying about what other people are going to think about my eating that I just eat to play nice, to fit in. So think about that stuff. When you know why you overeat, it helps you start solving the real problems of your life. So one of the things that you can do is, like Vanessa says, I have no confidence in myself. So the answer isn't to keep eating, and it's not to say I have no confidence. It's to say, like, oh, my overeating is allowing me to not work on becoming more confident. What are the things I need to start telling myself more of? Where are the places that I'm, like, so busy telling myself I'm not good enough, and I'm forgetting there might be things about me that are right? The second thing you want to do is you want to prepare for your obstacles. So triggers and all kinds of stuff to eat are going to be normal. I do not want you doubling down on trying to be good or restricting yourself from food after you overeat. What I really want you to do is, if you've had an overeat, I want you to get back to eating normally as fast as you possibly can. What we want to do is teach our body that there are no punishments coming if you overeat. That is going to create a lot of food safety for you. And if there's no punishments coming from, like, restricting, withholding, undereating, or self-loathing, talking bad to yourself, when those things stop, you will be surprised at how much less you overeat and how much insight you start opening yourself up to. And the more insight you open up to into what your truest needs are, then you have more information on how to change your life so you don't have to eat every time you don't feel confident. You don't have to eat anymore just because you want to fit in socially. So we want to have a plan. In the moments that I am most likely to overeat, what do I want to tell myself? How do I want to treat myself? And what can I do in those moments? And then the last thing is, decide now how you're going to respond to yourself if you do overeat. Most of you try to, like, you're just like, you hear all this, you're like, okay, I get it. Don't beat yourself up after an overeat. And then you just go on your merry way and you don't think any more about it. I want you to write in your journal, what does new you do and say to herself after an overeat? Do you do a discovery worksheet? And how do you encourage yourself to do it? When you hear yourself beating yourself up, what conversation do you have in that moment? And what do you do to end that kind of talk? In the moment is the worst time to try to figure out how you're going to show up for yourself. especially if you've always beat yourself up. The best time to figure it out is on paper with your reasoning brain. Because when you make a mistake, your habit brain's going to kick on. It may even try to shut down your reasoning brain. They call it feeling hijacked. Like you just couldn't reason with yourself. You were so emotional about it. The reason why we do this the reason why we do this on paper and we write about this stuff is because your brain will store some of the stuff that you do with your reasoning brain. It will store it in the habit brain. And you won't know when this happens, but there will be a day that you overeat and your brain will start to make it a catastrophe and be like, you know what? I'm not going to make this a big deal. I'm just going to do a discovery worksheet. I'm going to try. And next thing you know, you're doing it. And you think, this overeat's not as bad as the ones I used to have. Like things will just start clicking without it having to be a lot of work. Like stuff will just start happening because you're doing this foundational work on paper. And then the last thing is just keep adjusting. Work through the conversation you're going to have ahead of time with yourself if you mess up. Prepare for the obstacles that you know that are coming. Figure out what's really going on underneath your overeats and then make small adjustments. And then the next time you have an overeat, even if it's the same one, you just go back to step one. We don't go like, well, that didn't work. Corinne gave me some steps. What a failure. I did all that writing. Nothing works. No, you go back to step one. You do it again. And again, and then one day it's just who you are. And that's a great place to be. All right, let me see if we have any questions. Otherwise, we will get on out of here. I gained 5 pounds from Thanksgiving and Christmas to New Year's. Do I not acknowledge and have no drama over it? Why? Tell me why you need to have drama. That's the real question, Laura. It's like, so I just acknowledge it? Yeah. Where's the upside to drama? Like, I gained 5 pounds. Oh no, this is a big deal. This is terrible. I shouldn't have done it. I wish I'd done better. I really regret how I showed up. That would be drama. I'll always do this. The holidays really suck for me. Holidays are really hard. That's all dramatic. All that does is it makes it harder to start. You're starting from a place of feeling like a fuck up. Which means that anything you do will feel excellent. It's like, here I am, Laura the fuck up who gained 5 pounds. Time to make a plan. With that attitude, I'd love to see what said plan's going to be. You do not need drama. She says, getting mad at myself is what drives me back to getting back on track. No, that's not what happens. When you're mad at yourself, all that's happening is like, I'm saying terrible things. And the result is I make it harder for me to believe in myself. Because I'm going to guess, Laura, you beat yourself up a lot last year. That really paid off during Thanksgiving and Christmas. I mean, you gained 5 pounds because you probably created a version of you that doesn't believe that it doesn't matter what time of year it is. Weight loss is easy for you. Maybe sometimes when you were like during the holidays, like you were sitting there thinking like, well, it's the holidays. I don't want to feel bad about myself. So I'm going to eat and then I'll just start over at the beginning of the year. Like we should be having a good time during the holidays. That's how we sabotage ourselves because in your mind, your brain is like, listen, it is the holidays. The only way to lose weight is you better be perfect. You got to stay on track. You're used to like being really strict with yourself. And you're like, it's the holidays. I want to relax. Relaxing had nothing to do with the food. You weren't relaxing your mind. To you, losing weight's not relaxing. Instead of it just being what you do. And when you get back on track, this is the subtle thing all of you miss. It's not because Laura says, I'm such a fuck up. I got to do better. That feels terrible. That feels admonishing. That feels whatever. And what you do is never going to be get back on track. You might dread, you might blow out of proportion what you've got to do. You might overcorrect, but I really want you to think about, when I'm beating myself up, what do I actually do? Because I promise all of you, when we think about the think, feel, do cycle, if the do is make my 24-hour plan, it is not from beating yourself up. It is a boring, fucking sneaky thought. It is going to, you're going to feel willing, and that doesn't come from beating yourself up. It's probably going to come from a little thought like, maybe I should make a plan today. Or it comes from the thought of, I'm tired of feeling bad about myself. I should get back on track. I just want you to see that beating yourself up, and this is really important for all, if you are listening to the words coming out of my mouth, if you are someone who thinks that, but I need to talk down to myself to get myself into action, I want you to really pull apart what actually happens. Take a piece of paper. I'll show you how to do it. I want you to just take a sheet of paper, and I want you just to draw a line right down the middle. And I want you to write at the, like at the bottom, a big D. I'll show you in just a second. Okay. You're going to put a D at the bottom, and it's going to say, on one side, it's going to say, beat myself up. On the other side, it's going to say, do things. Okay. So that's like you taking action to do the basics. Then what I want you to do is I want you to list the thoughts that you have that drive you to beat yourself up. So it's going to be like, you suck, you do this, you do that, like you should be doing better and stuff. That's going to feel terrible. And then your do line is not you get into action. It's probably hide, procrastinate. It's not doing things for yourself. Over here, I want you to tell yourself, all right, whenever I've decided to start doing things, what did I actually think? A lot of times, and even if you don't want to do it this way, you literally could just be, when I'm beating myself up, here's what actually my life looks like. When I'm getting back on track, here's what I'm actually telling myself. And I mean, pay attention, because it's subtle thoughts like, I'm tired of feeling bad. That's very different than, bitch, you're a loser, you better plan. Because if you say that, most of you don't go make a plan immediately. You'll feel bad for a moment. Your self-confidence, your self-worth will get eroded. That's what happens. And then you'll get enough of that. You'll have enough pain to where then your brain will come in and it'll want you to feel better. And it'll do something like, today, let's just try it. Let's just see what happens. I need to get back on track. And they all happen fast. But I promise all of you, the only way that you're ever actually getting back on track is because at some point you stopped being mean to yourself and you started getting directional. You had a sentence that was focused. You had a sentence that created a feeling of willingness, not a feeling of terrible. All right. For the rest of you, if you have any questions, and I didn't get to them in the Q&A, or Betsy didn't get to them in Q&A, just repost it and ask coaches. You can take anything you want to ask coaches at any time. One of the benefits about being in No BS, it's so different than other weight loss programs, is you get real humans answering your questions. You will see us do this all the time. You will get emails from us that will say things like, go to ask coaches if you need anything. We're sitting there waiting for you. Or just reply to this email. I promise you, between our Facebook group, where you can get so much peer support, so much social support, so much knowledge from people that have been where you are, you'll get help. You can go to Ask Coaches. You can take things like, here's what I learned from Corinne's thing today, and here's what came up for me. Coaches will coach you through it. They will give you questions you can answer. They will give you resources you can use. They will give you insights that you might not be able to get on your own. Or just reply to any email that we send. Seriously. If that's all you got, like you're just like, I can't even log into the website today. I just need some help. Reply to an email. The people that work our email, our support desk, if they don't know how to answer it, they will assign it to a coach to answer it. We just want you to lose weight. We just want to be here for you. So use us. That's why you're here. All right. Y'all have a great one. I will see y'all next Wednesday. I'm going to Vegas this weekend. I get to be with Coach Jane this weekend. You will have the marvelous Coach MJ on Sunday, who will be coaching you and doing all the weight loss things. And I know y'all love Coach MJ. She's this, I don't know. I think MJ's even funnier than I am. So enjoy that. I'll see you next Wednesday for our next class. And I'll also see y'all in the Facebook group. If you ever in the Facebook group and you're wondering, like, Screen, come in here, search the Facebook group for my name. Or search for hashtag Corinne's Advice. And you will get to see all kinds of Facebook coaching that I've done over the last, I think I started hashtag Corinne's Advice about a year ago. You'll get to see, I only tag stuff that I think, ooh, somebody in the future is going to want to read this. All right. Y'all have a good one. Bye, y'all.